Amos chapter 9. We stopped at verse number 3 last Thursday. So let's begin reading at verse number 4, 5, and 6. Beginning at verse 4. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them. And I will set mine eyes upon them for evil, and not for good. And the Lord God of hosts is he that judgeth the land, and Israel shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven, and hath founded his truth in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth, the Lord is his name. Alright, this I call God's inescapable judgment upon Israel. Why is God judging his 10 tribes of Israel, the northern 10 tribes?
Because of
the disobedience, because they've sinned against him. Did he want to judge them? Did he want them?
Sure he didn't.
How did he want them to escape his judgment?
By obeying.
By obeying him and following the word. Just like today. God does not want to judge us if we're saved and born again, but if we're out of line, he'll take us to the woodshed, he'll correct us in order to bring us back because he loves us. He doesn't want us out of line. And so this is very serious judgments. And verse 4, though they go into captivity right before their enemies, what's going to happen to them? What captivity did the 10 tribes go into? What captivity?
They went into the north.
They're going to be going into
the south,
aren't they? From the north. Into Assyria. They're going to go into the Assyrian captivity right here, this big Assyrian captivity. And they're going to go over there. It hasn't gone yet, but when they go, what's going to happen to them? Even in captivity. In verse number 4. What's going to happen to them?
He's going to command the sword.
Command the sword about it. In other words, even though they're in captivity, that's judgment enough. He's going to slay them with a sword. And what is he going to do as far as his mission and motive in verse 4? What is God's goal?
Set his
eyes
upon
them
for evil.
Set his eyes upon them for good. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? When the Lord sets his eyes upon us for evil, be careful. That's a terrible state of affairs. You wonder now, can a good, loving God do this?
Yes.
Is he still loving just because
yes.
That doesn't take away his love, but his holiness and his judgment is still there. And he's got to judge for evil, not for good. And then notice in verse number 5, what's he going to do with the land? What land is he referring to here, do you think?
I guess Israel.
Right? Probably Israel, probably Palestine, the land. What's he going to do with the land? All right. And in other words, it's going to be, I don't know whether it's going to have erosion or whatever, but global warming, who knows? Which we don't believe is true, but...
Is it referring to a fire? Or?
Maybe fire. Maybe it will fire. Yeah, fire melts things, doesn't it? And burns up. What's going to be... Yes, Anna?
Is it possible that... Is it... I'm not sure. But... sometimes people talk about when they say their hearts melt, they're really discouraged.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if that would apply because this is talking about the land.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
All right, if it was snowing and the sun came out, it would melt. The snow would melt, so...
God shall mourn.
Differently. But those that dwell in the land, what's that going to add? What's that attitude going to be? What's their... They're going to be mourning because of the land. And then about the... what's this? Like a flood. To be drowned is a funny...
Soldiers, maybe.
It could be. It could be like a flood to be drowned. Or that if it's literal flood, of course, there could be that too. Storms and so on raging. But it could be like a flood. They'd be submerged completely and be drowned in people or drowned in water. We understand the water, but it's going to be like. It's a simile, isn't it? Like or as.
Could be armies from Egypt.
Could be armies from Egypt. Then in verse number 6, it identifies the Lord. What does it say about the Lord here in this verse, number 6? Questions at bftbc.org. If you want to give us an email or 856-261-9018. Give us a call and enter into our discussion. How is the Lord described here?
This is the one that said control.
All right, and control, what else?
Number 6,
did
you
say? Verse number 6.
Well,
he
He built his stores in heaven.
Okay.
And his troops.
Found his troop in the earth. In other words, he's
the Lord of the sea. He did everything.
He's the creator, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And stories in the heavens. So, well, just
buildings?
Probably stories look like that. This is certainly just like in the ark. There were three different stories within that, three different levels in the ark. And so this could be the way that is in heaven. Mansions in heaven, and that could be. And then founded the troop on the earth, his troop, all kinds of his animals and his creation, everything that he made, and the waters of the sea, and pour them out of the face of the earth. When did he pour the waters out of the face of the earth?
The
flood. Yeah, right, Noah's flood. And that was a tragedy. How many were delivered in that flood? Just eight. What were their names?
Noah.
Mrs. Noah, Mrs. Shem, Mrs. Ham, Mrs. Ham. So Ham, Shem, Ham, and Jacob. And their wives, and of course Noah and his wife. So eight were spared. Did God make an invitation, do you think, to others?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. I believe that Noah preached for 120 years. He was a preacher of righteousness. Now, did the people believe that there was going to be a flood that would destroy them?
No.
No, they didn't. Did that make any difference?
Not till the door was shut.
When the door was about to shut and when it began to rain, then they could see, but who shut that door?
God did.
God shut the door. What does that indicate when God shuts the door?
That's the end.
That's the end. Is there going to be an end of time for people to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, even now?
Yes.
In other words, many have postulated and thought about those before the rapture, before the Lord Jesus takes the believers home to heaven, if they've not come to Christ before that time, many have said it's too late. They use 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and maybe it is too late. If they have not heard about Christ accepting before, they'll not believe it even now, because the devil will be here, and the Antichrist will be here, and they won't believe. But be that as it may, there's a time when that's the end. That's the end of life. Yeah, Bill.
After the rapture, 144,000 Jewish people are supposed to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And many, there are different opinions on that, but many people believe that there are a lot of people are going to be saved.
Yes.
During that time.
That's right.
So even after the rapture, apparently it's not too late.
Not too late. But some have said, Bill, and I don't know whether true or false, that those that through this dispensation before this time who have heard the gospel, rejected it, then... But others that have never heard, that's one of the 144,000. Many of them postulate that, see. But you're right, there's going to be many saved, and there's 144,000. What type of people are those 144,000?
They're Jews.
They're Jews. From each tribe of Israel. 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. Yes, sir.
When I went to PCB, one of the professors there, I forget his name, if I mention it, you might know him, said that the Lord would never turn anybody away that said they believed, and really in their hearts they believed, even if it was after the rapture. If they wanted to be saved and believed, that the Lord would never turn them away. Now,
So there's different opinions on that. That's entirely possible. Whosoever will may come. But you remember in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God will sing of strong delusion that they will believe a lie. See, so in other words, people have been deluded before, have they not? I think many people, for instance, have voted for our president. Mm-hmm. Because he promised this, they were deluded. They thought he's going to fulfill. He hasn't fulfilled those promises. Mm-hmm. And many of them now are completely against him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're Democrats. But see, so strong delusion, see. I mean, I can see how it would happen. I mean, everybody thought, well, that's going to be wonderful. Everything's going to be happy. Everything's wonderful. And the promises. In fact, someone has actually counted in 2 minutes of his speech before he was elected, as he was campaigning, 8 different lies that he told. Because of this, 8 different things, didn't do anything. So, delusion is very strong, and some people believe it's easy to believe a lie. Yeah?
I wonder if anybody has ever done that for any of the other presidents.
I don't know. If they have, I'd like to see it. And I mean, that's the way with politicians. I mean, they're all right. Someone said the way to get elected is, first of all, to find out what the people want, and then promise it to them. I didn't say do it, I said promise it to them. That's how they get elected. And that's what they do. They don't do it, they promise. Yeah, Anna?
Nothing.
Okay. I'm sorry, Tammy. I'm sorry. I missed the wrong. All right.
I guess that's the way it is with people that
often it is our tendency to trust in kings or to trust in princes or to trust in presidents or whoever our leaders are, but we can't trust in them. We can trust in the Lord only.
Trust in the Lord only. That's a very good point. As it says in the Psalms, some trust in chariots and some that we will trust, put our trust in the Lord our God. And so the armies. So the Lord Jesus himself, the builder, destroys in heaven, Father, all the creator, the waters of the sea, pours them out, the Lord is his name. Let's read verse number, Dan, sorry.
It's possible when the 144,000 are here, their ministry focus is going to be those people who perhaps haven't heard the gospel for the first time.
Yes, I think you're right.
That'll be the focus. And, you know, notice the people who were, probably the large percentages of conversion will take place among the people who have never heard the gospel before.
How will they advance to the whole world in that 7-year period of tribulation? What is going to be their methods?
Let's go out throughout the world, I suppose. They have
internet?
We don't really know.
Radio?
I think they're going to be, the way things are going to be happening, all telecommunications seem to be going to be shut down because of the disasters that are going to be taking place. Maybe our telecommunications can withstand Earth calling these things we've never seen before. All these different horrible things with the seven trumpets, seven vials, and seven seals. There's seven different judgments. I got them out of order. Uh-huh. But there's seven different judgments, so there's 21 different types of judgments that are coming upon the Earth. I'm not sure if our infrastructure of telecommunications can withstand.
They may not.
That type of
activity.
So they carry 44,000. Cannot rely upon our technology of today. They may have to rely upon of the technology, the means of the first century church.
Possibly so. Yeah.
Well, I heard somewhere or read somewhere or something, and I'm not sure if it was accurate, but like that the amount of missionaries in the field today is like around 35,000 or somewhere like that, but I forget where I read that or so I don't know if it's accurate, but like. So, like, 144,000 could probably, if they spread out, could, like, reach a lot of people.
All right. Have to have airplanes if they're still living and still working?
Not necessarily. I mean, you have, again, that type of technology may be destroyed. Back in 200 B.C. or 250 B.C., there was a storm that wiped out 70% of the Roman naval fleet. Just a storm. A 3-day storm. Is it, what year was that? 200 B.C. or 250 B.C.?
Because they just let it sit there until...
And Pearl Harbor was only 3% of the U.S. fleet.
6% of the entire military, though.
And so, it's possible the aircraft, vessels, but if, like Anna's saying, if you have 144,000, to give each of those, how many months do we have in the seven years?
7 times 12.
Yeah, 7 times 12. But if each one reaches somebody in a month, one person, then you double in size. Each month you double that number, 144. You go to 288. The next month you go to 400. Next month you go to 800. Yes. Next month you go to 1.6 million. Then you double that.
We're not sure the conditions. But if the conditions prevail, the ones prevail in existence today, they'll have radio, they'll have internet, they'll have...
But people aren't listening to that today.
What is it?
People don't listen to that today.
No,
we have that today. We have the gospel going across the airwaves today. Nobody
they have the availability, at least, if they want to listen. Will the people be more interested than even today to listen to the gospel?
Yes.
Why?
Because of all the tribulation.
The tribulation, the troubles, and the terrible calamities. It'll be foxhole religion. There's no atheist in the foxhole, they say. They're praying to the Lord because it's serious business. Hannah, and then Tammy, and then Mom.
People in the Congo, in the midst of the Congo, in some jungle or somewhere, they may not have access to internet. So the 124,000 may have to go and reach them personally.
I'm sure that's a good way. Yes, Tammy?
I'm going to forget my question.
Hello, Rob, what's up?
Take it down quickly. I asked earlier, you talked about people getting saved after the rapture.
Yes.
And you read the verse from 2 Thessalonians 2:11. And for this cause, God shall send that strong delusion that they should believe the lie.
Yes.
And the next verse... If you contact Starbucks, you go back to verse 7, he who now letteth will let until he can get out of the way, and then the wicked shall be revealed. This is after the church is taken out of the way, but the next verse, and you've read this before, I know, after verse 11 says, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness.
Yes.
And that sounds to me like they've been responsible during the age of grace to obey the gospel, and they had their chance, and that they may not be able to believe.
Yes.
Once they have heard it.
Many believe that. Has the external capture been helpful, Rob? Has this been better, more synchronized?
Yes, my dad fixed it up. The new feed has been very good.
Good.
The lipstick's on now.
The lipstick is on. Okay, thank you, Rob. Appreciate that.
The lipstick is on.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye. Tammy.
I was thinking of that very verse that Rob mentioned, because he that letteth, I've always understood that that's the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
And he restrains evil in the world, and if it's going to be taken, I mean, this is how I learned it. So correct me if I'm wrong, but if he's taken out of the world, and he's, or it seems as though he can't be completely removed.
No, but the restraining power is gone, yes.
Right, so...
He'll still be here, but the restraining will
so
be gone.
Perhaps there's less... I don't know.
Less hindering of sin.
Less. I don't know if that would also mean that there would be less work for salvation, because we know the 144,000 is going to work in those. It's going to use those witnesses.
Yeah, I think the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit will be produced. But it's saving her, telling about Christ will be continued, I think. Yes.
It'll have the same.
I think so.
Power in salvation.
I think so, because he that let the land until he be taken out of the way, he won't let anymore, hinder anymore, or restrain evil anymore. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a real mess. If
I? Two comments is I can't remember how the 144,000 are saved.
Were sealed. The seal, they'll be sealed. God just.
But how were they saved? Just all of a sudden?
Just by God's grace, I guess. By God's grace, the scripture.
Maybe they remembered. Then the other thing is, when I was younger, you know, I heard all these prophecies when I was younger. We barely had a telephone. I was as old as Edison, or whoever, William Bell, or whatever his name is. But, I mean, we had telephones, but they were the... Well, your grandmother had
a telephone.
And so did we. So did some in LaGrange have that. And then you had that tall phone like this. The cradle phone, that was marvelous invention. So there's... So when this actually happens, the Internet could be so out of date...
Uh-huh.
See, because when you and I were younger, there was just a typewriter,
old-fashioned
typewriter.
A manual typewriter.
Yeah, a manual typewriter, the old-fashioned kind. And radio was a baby.
That's right.
And I don't know what else was
well, as far as the facility of being saved, it could be just like the Apostle Paul. The Lord Jesus came, spoke to him, and he was converted. Cass and then Bill. Yes.
What about the tribulation saints?
They'll be saved by the gospel preaching, through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many will be saved, as it says, by the sand of the sea, as it says in the book of Revelation 8, chapter 5. Many, many will be saved because of the influence of these evangelists, even in spite of all the tribulation. Yeah, Bob?
And I remember the preaching about the one, this is Elijah or somebody's going to be raised from the dead. And the whole world would see it. And the preachers would say, we don't know how that will be. Well, now we have television. We know that it's possible, but when this actually happens, it might just be something that isn't invented yet.
Could be.
That everybody will see it at one time.
Yes,
well,
Bill.
We could still see it now.
Yeah. I know.
With what we have.
That's right, we could. But we're not sure that things will be completely down, redfished down. Maybe there's a new thing that can't be done.
See, that's right.
That's it. Bill.
There may be some indications just beginning to grow now showing that... more and more Jews are starting to believe in Jesus. This may be a little bit hard to believe, but there are two rabbis on television now who have shows about Jews for Jesus, and they're both saying that more and more Jewish people are turning to Christ all the time. So
Praise
maybe that's where the 144,000
yes,
are coming
maybe,
from.
Maybe from there. Absolutely. Yes, Tim? Oh,
At what point in time are the two witnesses?
Probably in the center of the tribulation, about the first 3.5 years.
So not until the middle?
Probably in the middle. See, the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist will be wonderful, what a wonderful person. See, and all of a sudden he'll turn, and he'll have the sacrifice in the temple of Israel, and they'll see how mean and ugly. That's when they will be killed, and then the Lord will raise them up again.
Who are those witnesses again? Elijah?
Probably Moses and Elijah. I think now other people have different views, but the miracles of Moses are there. The miracles of Elijah are there. So both miracles, they seem like the Moses and Elijah will be raised.
They may be walking around alive.
Well, they'll be raised up, and they'll be prophets. Bill has something in Anna.
Well, they'll come down. They never were buried. They never were buried.
That's right.
Yeah. Sure like to meet Moses and Elijah.
Remember, Moses and Elijah were the two on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, the Lord Jesus and Moses and Elijah.
You don't want to meet them on earth, do you, during the tribulation?
Oh. No, not necessarily here, but I was thinking through that.
Okay.
Yes,
they're the ones
right.
That were the
Mount of
Transfiguration. So they have bodies. They never, we don't know what happened to Moses, but it said God buried him. So that doesn't count then.
Well, no, but Elijah God's able to take care of the body. Yes, Anna?
Well, Elijah never died. He was taking up and carrying it fire.
Right.
And then Enoch was also the other one that died.
Oh, yeah, Enoch.
Yeah, Enoch, that's right.
So maybe it's Enoch and Elijah, because they didn't die.
Possible. Yes,
Dan. Now, somebody could verify this, but if getting back to the old-fashioned method of the New Testament, if you give each of 144,000 4 months to win one person to Christ, and then give those people 4 months to win one to Christ, in other words, each kind of, you're doubling the number of witnesses you have every 4 months, in a matter of, you know, you'd be able to reach 48 billion people in 7 years. In 4 months times, there's 84 months in 7 years, mm-hmm. And so in 21 cycles, you know, 21 times 4 is the 48 billion. Maybe somebody could double check that math. And this is rough numbers, because I started with 100,000 the first 4 months, 200,000, 400,000, 800,000, 1.6 million, 3.2 million, 6.4 million, 12 million. Just a minute, let me take care of a cricket here or something. Anyway,
okay.
There he's over there. 12 million, 24 million, 48 million, 100 million, 200 million, 20 million, 500 million, 1 billion, 2 billion, 3 billion, 6 billion, 12 billion, 24 billion. 48 billion.
So if they go one at a time, one by one, that's all these billions and millions. And so, but if they have the television and the other things to get out even more than that, except and be safe.
When the bug, we better tell the bug man the cricket's up here.
All right, I will. When he comes next time, I'll bring him over here.
I think he's gone because.
Why did you call?
What's happened with that?
We're gonna bring a break his base, kill the bug here.
All right, let's go on then to verse number 6. We have the Lord is the name of him. He built the stories of him. Let's go with verses. Yes, Bob? I mean, Anna?
I'm not Vaughn.
Okay, Anna?
It says the Lord is his name. That's like Jehovah, the self-existent one, right?
Sure, that's right. Self-existent one. Just name.
No, I'm sorry, I'm going to disturb everybody here. No, he's jumped away.
Why don't you just pick him up and take him
inside?
Murder him.
Pick him up.
All right, Anna, go right ahead.
Yeah, I just said what I wanted to.
Oh, okay.
About the Lord's name.
Lord is a self-existent one. Jehovah, that's right, absolutely.
Lord is his name.
Well, let's read verses 6 and 8 and 9 together. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, or children of Israel, says the Lord? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Kephthor, and the Syrians from Tur? Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful nation, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saying that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, says the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. Right in verse 7. Notice that simile. Are you not as children? Yes, Anna.
We have a note from the Badger State.
Badger. North Dakota? Wisconsin. All right.
Pastor looks okay here. No head cut off. Then, now we're reading the Bible, and that looks good too. pastor's talking now and still looks good. No head cut off.
We need to get the head cut off scene.
So he did a pressure and see if they sing her.
That's right. No, he got away. The boat got away.
So that's Wisconsin. That's Wendy, Rick and Wendy.
Right.
So we have
so
Jerry. Could be Jerry.
We have the wrong.
No, it's
they have the wrong feet. They have to go to
six. Okay.
They have to go to the brown box again.
What's the brown box?
Try this one before that, too, anyway.
There's another one. Okay, read the album before that, then.
This one's from the Bay Area Public.
Is that North Dakota?
That's the Peace Corps state.
You don't know what these things
are. Bay Area Public. North Dakota? No.
Illinois.
Illinois?
California.
California?
California.
All right, California. Okay, Joe,
and the audio is in sync now on all the cameras. The camera with the top of your head cut off. The audio is a bit low.
Oh, I've repaired the audio. Okay, I fixed the audio.
Okay.
I tried to. At least my audio is low. Yours should be higher.
Okay. Okay, a little low on the audio. Okay. Thank you, Joe. Anything else on that, Anna?
Not that I can tell.
Okay. So we're in good shape. In chapter, in verse number 7, yeah, Bob?
Love to have them all listening when the first time that it's streamed from Dr. Williams so that
yes.
People know where they're
the 16th.
Be sure that everyone listens on the 16th, Wednesday the 16th. Is it 7 o'clock, Dan?
7 o'clock.
7 till 9, something like that.
Except Dr. Williams will come and give a report.
The bottom box, please, Dr. Williams will be there. Dan will be there. We'll be setting up the streaming from the Bible study from Cleveland, Georgia. So please.
I don't know if Sheba will be there or not, the dog.
Yeah, Sheba the dog is bitten by a wild beast in a terrible shape, terrible shape. Just all kinds of things. So please,
she's just a precious dog.
Little dog. So now the dog is inside. Normally it's an outside dog, but no more.
It's not a baby dog, but it was so hurt.
It's hurt before, and they nursed it back to shape. They were just a neglected dog. They love Sheba, and so...
she's afraid of me because I have a cane.
Yes, they don't like that. Apparently, people before beat that little dog, you see, and so they're just afraid of any stranger. It took Williams several weeks or maybe a month or so to get accustomed to that. I notice in verse number 7, are you not as sure of the Ethiopians? What does the as indicate?
Like.
Like, as or like, it's a simile. Like the Ethiopians underneath the children of Israel. And I have brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now that refers to the Exodus and Moses. What did God take in order to do that? Was that a simple task?
I lost my skin.
Was that a simple task?
Many
how many people, men plus women, children, how many men does it say came out of Egypt?
600,000
men plus women and children. One or two, several, maybe 3 million people, see. And then, at the very least, how long were they in the desert?
40 years.
Did God provide for their food?
Yes.
They did, for their drink, their water.
Their
clothes did not wear out. But first of all, how did they get across the water?
That's part of the
by faith, they crossed the sea on dry land.
Crossed the sea on dry land. And see, this is all the power of God. It says, did not the Lord bring them up out of the land of Egypt? The Philistines from captive, the Syrians from care. So God's power is given very strongly there. And then notice verse number 8. What does it mean the eyes of the Lord are upon the sinful kingdom?
He sees everything.
Who is the sinful kingdom? Who is the sinful kingdom you think is referred to?
Israel.
Probably Israel. These 10 tribes. These 10 tribes of the north. What does it mean if his eyes are upon them?
He
knows what they're doing. Can they hide?
No.
Can any of us hide from the Lord?
No.
Or do we try? People try to hide from the Lord?
Yes.
They try. By all different means. By the sinning of the dark.
To and fro.
The eyes go to and fro to be strong to the ones that trust in Him. The Lord's eyes. So is this... Now, sometimes one of our friends, Bob Rogers, used the expression about his father. See, Bob Rice was a pastor, a good friend of ours for many years, in our wedding, in fact, he was. He sang wonderful voices with the Lord now. But whenever he got out of line, his father looked at him, see? And Pastor Rogers used to say, Daddy, don't eye me. Don't eye me. In other words, I was a bad eye, see? Because when that eye, it means you better straighten out or else. But here, the eyes of the Lord, in the sense of for good, for grace, and for help.
He died.
Notice, what's he going to do as far as the sinful kingdom? In verse number 8.
He'll destroy it.
Destroy it from the face of the earth. Now the kingdom itself, that I will not utterly destroy what?
The house of Jacob.
The house of Jacob. In other words, God's going to spare. The kingdom may go, but the house of Jacob, the people, are going to be spared. says the Lord. Now that's God's grace, is it not? In the midst of all of his judgment. And then verse number 9, what does it mean, I will sift the house of Israel? What does it mean to sift?
To judge.
What is it?
He's going to judge.
He's going to judge, yes.
He's going to sort those that are faithful and those that aren't.
What do we use sift for in
today's
time?
To separate the good from the bad.
You sift flour. In cooking, you sift. In that.
The same terminology was used for what Christ said, I think it was to Peter,
yes.
Saying, sift you as wheat.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, which this same desires to have you to sift you as wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is very interesting. Same, this is corn.
Yes.
And so sifting, when people bake, and I'm not sure if people do this anymore, but there's maybe they have better flour now that's pre-sifted or something, I don't know. But back when, before the flour was, I think they had sifters or something.
Yes,
you were supposed to sift it and...
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure, Mrs. Weber, you still sift?
Well, certain things.
And what does that do, make the stuff come out better?
It makes the flour lighter and it takes all the little crumbs and hard things out.
So it makes it lighter?
Yeah.
It makes it bake better.
The thing that's in the sifter is the bad stuff.
Yeah,
the thing goes through
and
the good
stuff. It makes
that's
the flour lighter.
Lighter too.
You can sift sand too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Well, I was just looking back at verse 8 and I was thinking, there's a promise to Israel that God's not going to utterly destroy the house of Jacob. It's just like, so people who say that God is finished with Israel, there's so many passages that refute that.
Absolutely. Mr. Camping always saying that Israel's finished and now it's with the church. God is not through with Israel, absolutely. He's going to sift them. And the things that are in the sieve are the things that are in the sieve, good or bad?
Bad.
The things that go out of the sieve, good or bad? That's the good. See, that's the sifting. We're sifting in it. So he will sift them as corn is sifted in a sieve. What is a sieve?
It's a string.
The things that you're sifting.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
When Jesus said to Peter he was sifting,
Satan wants to sift you. Yeah.
What was going to happen? What would be left in the sieve and what would come sieve and what would come out?
Well, he probably wanted to hurt his life and hinder him. And
I mean, the wheat, and when you talk about this talks about corn, but in order for something to be sifted,
Dan, there's a funny blue thing on that screen there. Want to look at it?
That's part of the bug.
It says the disc is full. It's okay.
Disc is full.
Okay. We're doing a test on the disc here. This is full, so we'll say okay.
Okay,
that's all right. Thanks for
mentioning that. So the people going to go to the other one.
Okay. No, this the people that still come to this
all
one.
Right.
All right. The primary one, which we should verify, we have a couple of verifications that this primary one with the head cut off is the lips are back on sync with its external capture device. But the corn and wheat, in order for them to be, I guess, yes, both have to be broken down to be sifted?
I guess they will.
Or not? As far as
ground up a little.
Ground up a little. You have to break the... I don't know much about wheat, but the wheat, in order to get the flour, you have to have a whole grain.
That's right.
And that grain has to be...
Ground up.
I used a primitive cornmeal grinder. We put a whole cuss... First you have to take the husk of the corn, and you put that corn in this device, this... Stone ground wheat. Well,
yes.
You have to grind that wheat has to turn into flour first.
Uh-huh.
You have to break up that wheat, whatever the wheat is, and make it flour. Then you have to sift it.
Yes.
Maybe there's a process when you sift the whole grain first. I know when they're going running combines to the field. You know they have to do it. The implement comes through the field, and the implement pulls out the wheat. And the bad stuff is blown off the side.
Uh-huh. Chaff.
But then it has to be further refined, I'm sure. Uh-huh. So I'm not sure.
And the cattle and the were used to turn around and grind that corn. Remember, they got around. Most of the ox that what?
Tread
out the corn. So they had to grind it and sieve it in those early days, too. I'm going to stop right here at verse number 9, but next we guess Anna.
The Philistines made Samson do it.
Yes, made Samson do it. Yes, Tammy?
Well, that passage in... that refers to Peter and the Lord saying to him that Satan hath desired to sift you,
uh-huh.
it sort of reminds me of Job, because it was Satan that went before God to ask him for permission.
Uh-huh.
And so it seems as though in his omniscience, he understood that that's precisely what Satan had asked,
uh-huh.
that he wanted permission to sift him.
Yes.
And so...
Satan
sieve, it
says.
Sieve, there's another one. Yes, hold on, what's up?
Hi, Pastor. Besides, I'm encouraging everyone to tune in for Dr. Williams' study, and I know you mentioned this last week, but I just want to mention again that new film that John Doerr and Chris Pinto put out, A Land in the Dark,
uh-huh.
with you, Dr. Williams, Dr. DeVitro, Dr. Mormon, and Dr. Brown, all our friends from Dean Burgon Society.
Yeah.
It's just a wonderful film.
Amen. They're going to have a second one coming out soon also, another several months. Yep.
Wheat and the Tares. This is a long film. It's about 3 hours.
Yeah.
But well worth it. I just encourage everyone to get it.
Yeah.
It's a great story about the Reformation, our Bible, and the forces of darkness that tried to stamp out the Bible.
Uh-huh. Good. Well, thanks a lot, Rob.
Appreciate it.
Is that a DVD that sells in the stores now?
No, I think you can buy it. I don't know what the stores, but you can buy it from the Adullam Films. Yeah.
How much does it cost?
Tammy?
I was just going to ask what the website was, because I know I've been there before. But
I think it's Adullam, Adullam, adullamfilms.com, I think.
If you can carry it.
Yeah, we'd be carrying it. Yes, it's very good. 3 hours, basically a history of Roman Catholic Church. And
that was the one you talked about.
That's what I talked about. I had up here.
Oh, maybe you'll have that someday.
Yes, we'll try to get that if we can. Any other comments or questions before we close? Well, if not, let's close then with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank Thee that we can talk about Thy Word, talk about salvation, talk about Israel being spared by Thee, talk about the tribulation, what it'll take when the Jews, 144,000, will tell the gospel to many in this terrible, terrible catastrophe in these 7 years of tribulation. Lord, as we have the gospel now, help us to take it out. We pray for each one of our missionaries, all 9 of them, as they go forth, may they have fruits that we may abound to to us as well, because we pray, because we give, and we can enter into the labors of the missionaries. Bring us back safely on the Lord's Day as we have the communion service, remembering our Savior's death until He comes. Guide us and direct us. Go with us and bless those that are listening by other means as well. In Jesus' name we ask and pray.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming.